A.G. Hines Company. They've been around for over 100 years, selling building materials since anyone can remember. This is the Rewind with Jimmy Himes on Full Disclosure. We're interviewing a lot of sports personalities in this area, and our guest today is Cooper Mays, star football player, University of Tennessee. Cooper, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm going to go in a little bit different direction with you because a lot of people know you as a star football player. Before you got involved with organized football, you played Little League Baseball. You were on a really good team, and one of the star pitchers was a guy named Kirby Cannell. What do you remember about Kirby when you played with him when y'all were like 7 or 8 years old?
Oh, man. The first probably thing I think about is he was a hothead. You know, he was very fiery and intense even back in that age, which I'm kind of a more laid-back, calm guy, so I kind of took note of that. But he was always fired up, and he was really good even back then, too.
So what was it like for you to watch Tennessee win the College World Series, knowing that this guy was a former teammate of yours?
It was really big time for me. I made a tweet about it. Me and Kirby, you know, we played together. I think we were maybe 8 or 9 or 10 in that age. Mm-hmm. So we were really young, and, you know, kind of seeing how our two paths have kind of converged a little bit has been really cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, and from what I heard, he was a great pitcher. Even then, at a young age.
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
he was.
You also were a pitcher, right?
I pitched a little bit. I dabbled in third base. That's where I hung out. You know, me and Kirby, actually, we played together for, I think, 2 years or 1 year. And then I played him one time, and he was pitching. You know, I hit a home run.
Oh, did you?
I actually did. I took him oppo. He was throwing it fast, but I took a fastball, took it to the right field, you know, hit it out. I think I talked about it to him one time, but I don't know if he'll even remember. He said it didn't happen, so maybe I messed up.
But maybe we should remind him.
We could ask him.
You grew up in an athletic family. Obviously, your dad, Kevin, was an all-SEC player that I covered back in the 1990s. Your mom's brother was a center at Tennessee. Your older brother, Cade, an outstanding football player in his own right. What was it like growing up in such an athletic family?
It was really cool for me. You know, I think kind of all of it came a little bit natural. You know, I wasn't really good at basketball, but, you know, all the other sports I kind of excelled at. And then having everybody else in your family do great things in sports, it kind of puts a little bit of pressure on you. But we had a healthy family dynamic as far as pressure goes when it came to, you know, success or whatever. Nobody ever, you know, pushed you to be successful. It was more about, you know, just doing your best. So
were there more benefits to growing up in an athletic family because you saw what your dad did and your older brother, or was it more pressure?
There was a natural bit of pressure, but I wouldn't say it was as bad as it probably has been for some people, or, you know, it probably could have been, but we handled it pretty well, I think, me and my brother, and we excelled at sports when we were young too. Mm-hmm. So it always seemed like it lined up a little bit.
Andrew's Physical Therapy at Blaine and Strawberry Plains. That's where I've gone to rehab my knee, shoulder, and elbow. When rubbing a little dirt on it ain't good enough. You played 2 years at Catholic High School with your brother. What was that experience like?
It was really special. You know, it was my first 2 years going into high school. So, you know, that's kind of a difficult time period in kind of anybody's life. But having an older brother that's kind of doing the same things as you and kind of was there for every step of the way, you know, it was really cool for me. I had a really good time in high school. I enjoyed it a lot. You know, a lot of people probably want to get out of high school as fast as they can and get on to college, but I truly enjoyed my time in high school. It was nice.
You won a state championship together at Catholic High School, 2017, yes. I believe. That had to be a great thrill.
It was. It was really cool. I feel like we should have more. You know, I always think that, but it was a really cool experience, especially doing it with my brother. So that kind of mounted into a desire to play in college with him too. So,
well, your brother, and I don't think anybody would deny this, had a bit of a mean streak, in particular aimed at opponents. Every now and then it got aimed at you. You had a penalty, and he, I think, grabbed you and picked you up and said, basically, politely, don't do that again. Is that kind of the way you remember that?
That was more or less probably what he was trying to explain. I don't know what terms were used, but definitely probably not those terms. But same message, you know. It's about the message, not the delivery, is what people say.
All right, at Catholic, you had a couple of difficult situations that you faced. I think it was going into your junior year, you had a cyst, and that caused you to be bedridden for, your dad told me, about 6 weeks, and you weren't able to work out like you'd wanted to. How difficult of a time period was that for you?
Yeah, it was hard, just mainly because, you know, I couldn't be working out and everything. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing. So I kind of missed out a little bit that time on my development on that side of it. But, you know, it was tough. It was tough. But it didn't last too long. So, but 6 weeks, yeah. 6 weeks. It was a bad 6 weeks for sure.
Going into your senior year, I was told you broke a bone in your foot your first day of practice, but it was not diagnosed that way. It was later determined that you did have a broken bone. But how hard was it to play that season with that injury, not even knowing what it exactly was?
Oh, man, it was rough. I think it was like the second scrimmage we did, I felt like a little pop in my foot, a little click. But I didn't think much of it. It didn't hurt too bad in the moment. But within the next probably few weeks, it got pretty bad. And I ended up playing, I think, like eight weeks on it, and then kind of had to sit out a couple games because it was just getting so bad. And then ended up playing my last game in the playoffs, ended up doing that. But then I came to Tennessee. They diagnosed it pretty quick, but didn't really know what was going on, but knew my foot was killing me and knew something was wrong. But you know how it is. People don't really believe you probably as much as they should in the moment. Took a while to get over too.
Yeah, I want to take you to a moment that Coach Steve Matthews was telling me about. You're playing Brentwood Academy, which won like four state titles in a row. And it's late in the game. It's tied at 35 all. And it's fourth down and about seven. And you run a reverse with Tommy Winton. You were a center that was – you pulled a lot from the center position. And he told me that you – on that particular play, that you backed around, you circled around, you were kind of hobbling around, and you threw a key block to spring him for the touchdown that won the game. Do you remember that play?
Yes, I do. We always had a special play where they always wanted me to be the guy that was doing all the pulling and the getting out in space, because I was, you know, I was a pretty good athlete in high school for sure, I think. And you know, it was probably one of the better blocks of the night. You know, I wasn't making it I wasn't making it very well that night. That was kind of one of the last games I played, but it was a big game. It was on TV, and then, you know, ended up rising to the occasion on that play. Tommy Winton, great play. Great player for the Vols now. He just transferred over. So he's looking to carve out a role on our team, and hope it goes well.
One thing Coach Matthews underscored with me was your football intelligence, your football IQ. He said that play was an example. I talked to Tim Irwin, who said he coached in the eighth grade, and he talked about your intelligence on the football field. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I'd say it's a little bit natural. You know, I've got a smart mom and dad. They've got pretty good common sense. And, you know, my mom, she's underrated, but she's, you know, she's the brains of our little operation we got going on in the Mays household. So,
but she's underrated?
Underrated, yeah. You know, maybe from the outside looking in, but anybody who knows her knows she's great. So I got good genes passed down. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a little bit natural. I can problem solve pretty well. Coach Ellerby says I have like a spidey sense is what he says. So
another thing that Tim Irwin told me, he said that you were the second best player he coached. You probably know who the best player was.
It was probably Harrison Smith.
Harrison Smith.
Yeah, I can take that.
Is that okay?
I can do that. I can accept that. That's okay.
I mean, here's a guy that's been in the NFL for about, 10 years or so?
Yeah, he's done a lot more than I have.
He's pretty good. Let's go through your recruitment. So you had we had the issues we talked about in your senior year. There were some colleges that backed off a little bit, and there was a period where I think you lost 35 or so pounds one of your high school years, so you were considered by some people too small. But Jeremy Pruitt stood by you. Jeremy Pruitt said, I want you to be on this team. I don't know if you're going to play tight end, fullback, defensive line, whatever, but you're a football player and we want you. That made an impression on you, didn't it?
It did for me. You know, I'm a guy that, you know, my circle's pretty small, and I keep, you know, who I trust and everything very tight-knit and you know, kind of closed off in a way. So, you know, I built a lot of my relationships on trust and consistency. That's probably the number one thing mm-hmm. with me and in my life and people being in my life is I like to see consistency. I think my junior year I was 240 playing my last game. We played against Central in the playoffs. I think it was the fourth round. We ended up losing the game, but I was like 240 with all my pads on. So I was really like 235, mm-hmm. 237, somewhere in that area. So, you know, I probably was a little bit too small to play O-line in the SEC at that point. Coach Pruitt always stressed to me that he wanted me to be just a football player. He didn't really mm-hmm. care where I played. Didn't matter if it was tight end, linebacker, D-line, O-line. You know, it didn't really matter to him. He just thought I could find somewhere to put Cooper Mays is kind of mm-hmm. what he thought. So that resonated with me a lot. And, you know, when some schools that I really wanted to go to and really liked, when they pulled back, you know, Tennessee was there the whole time. Because I ended up gaining, I think, from my junior year, I was 240, like I said. And then I think I ended up getting to 290 by the end of that summer. Mm. So, like, in a 6-month span, I gained, like, 50 pounds. So it wasn't really an issue after that.
Yeah.
So, but when schools were coming back around and trying to get back in, when they realized that I was big enough, that's kind of what I was like, I think I've already figured it out.
You know? Coach Matthews told me one of those was Georgia. And your brother, Kate, is at Georgia. But Kirby Smart kept trying to come back in on you. But you didn't bite, did you?
It was hard for me. I think for a couple of years of my high school career, I kind of was dead set on going to Georgia because I wanted to play with my brother kind of mm-hmm. no matter where it was. So when he was at Georgia, they recruited me. They were my second offer. I think I got offered by Tennessee like the second week of my freshman year in the football season. And then right after the football season, Georgia offered me. I kind of knew they wanted me for me because Kay was mm-hmm. already committed to Tennessee at that point. Nobody really thought they could get Cade. So I felt kind of strongly about Georgia too, wanting me for me and not just throwing an offer out there for Cade. So that resonated with me. And I really kind of wanted to go there just to be with Cade and do that whole thing with Cade. So that was big, but for about a year, I didn't hear from Georgia probably my junior year. That year mm-hmm. I was kind of getting to the end of my career and I was still small. So it went from me texting the coaches and texting all of them, you know, a lot, talking on the phone a lot. And it went from that, and then it kind of transferred into them not really talking to me at all. I would still go to games and everything, visit and everything, but it was kind of more because, you know, Kay was on the team. They had, you know, a couple seats for my family and everything. But, you know, I just felt really strongly about, you know, people backing off and trying to come back. I don't know. Sure. It doesn't sit well with me. So, you know, I was still good with Georgia. I liked Georgia a lot, and they got a really good recruit in Cedric Van Pran, who played four good years at Georgia, or three good years he was starting. So it was Jeremy Pruitt and the consistency there that drew me to him.
Stanford recruited you hard. You could have gone to Harvard. Did you think about going in that direction, going to a, quote, academic school?
Probably not as seriously as I probably should have, you know, looking back on it. But I had a couple good offers. I think the first time I ever took I took the ACT in middle school for some reason. I don't know what it was, but a little honors program or whatever. But I took it back then. I think I got like a 21. And then my next time taking it was probably my sophomore year. I think at the end of my sophomore year, I took it and ended up getting like a 28, you know, 29 or something like that. But could have easily probably gotten over into the 30s, the low 30s, and gotten into a really good school like that. But I don't know. Stanford, I think, when I look back on it, Stanford had some requirements that I didn't like. I think I couldn't early enroll to Stanford. I had to take like 3 AP courses and hold maybe like a B average or higher for the whole thing of my senior year. So I wasn't really feeling that. I was kind of checked out at that point, but probably not as serious as I should have, but could have if I wanted to go that direction.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, and this came from Coach Matthews. He said that there were schools that had backed off of you, and he said one of those schools was Clemson. He said Clemson never offered Cooper. And so fast forward a few years to 2022, and you're playing Clemson in the Orange Bowl. Was there extra motivation?
A little bit. You know, probably not as much as a normal cat would have thought about it, but a little bit, yeah. I knew some of the people on Clemson, a couple of them, probably three or four guys, knew them pretty well. And it was a big year for us, and I was just glad that we could close it out, you know, close it out the right way. But anytime you compete against guys that passed on you, there's always a little bit of out of fuel. You know, I feel like I play my best games against schools like that. I feel like I play good ball against Georgia. You know, mm-hmm. I always come to play well that game. And Clemson, I think that was a great night for us as well.
Great night for you too, wasn't it?
A little bit good night, you know. Yeah. Trying to make them all good, but, you know.